espresso martini?
Yeah, I had like cans of espresso martini mix, which I'm realizing as I'm saying this is just cold brew.
Yeah, but it's nice to like have it done. Like you don't need to sit there and brew espresso.
Welcome to an afternoonified mini. We're trying this again. Sarah, what are we talking about today? I remember the words vintage birds, I think.
Vintage birds. So you remember a couple episodes ago, we were talking about children who, you know, disappeared or potentially got kidnapped.
Kidnapped by birds, yeah.
Yeah, and we theorized that many of them had in fact been stolen by birds, which is backed up by some historical sources. I will say I found some. Thank you to Vice and Slate for compiling these sources for me. So I'm just going to read some old-timey newspaper articles about babies getting kidnapped by birds. Big birds, usually.
I realized what I was picturing was the end of Lord of the Rings when Sam and Frodo got picked up off of Mount Doom by the eagles.
That's, yes.
That's just the image that was in my head. They were neither children nor real birds, but
I mean, well, hobbits are like the size of children.
Yeah, they're about 3 feet tall.
Not babies, but like little kids.
Yeah, I don't know how big kids are supposed to be.
I will say, take all of these stories with a grain of salt because they are all newspapers from the mid 1800s and early 1900s, which
journalistic integrity didn't really come into play until like 1950, and even then.
Yeah, and like, you know, some of them, they don't really give names of anyone, which is a great sign. They're just like, you know, a farmer. Anyway, we're going to read these stories because I love old-timey newspaper stories.
Oh, can you read it in the voice where it's like all nasal?
No.
No.
I can't do voices, Emily. I'm not that talented.
Continue.
So our first story comes from Wichita, Kansas in the year 1888. And this originally appeared in the New York Times. The story reads, a dispatch from Wichita, Kansas says, colon, the baby of a farmer, William Beatty, who lives on the Cimarron River north of the territory line, was carried off by an eagle Saturday. Beatty went to work in the morning, leaving in his dugout his two children, one 5 years old and baby aged 2 months, as you do, you know, leaving your newborn with your five-year-old.
That's like a thing with like super religious families. It's like you can walk. You're old enough to help raise the little ones.
Definitely not old enough to keep them, protect them from birds, because about noon, Beatty returned home and found his girl in tears. She said she had taken the baby into the yard and left it while she went into the house, you know, because she's 5 years old. In a few minutes, she heard a cry and on looking out saw the baby, quote, flying away, as she expressed it.
Wasn't that how the witch started?
Pretty much. The father knew at once that an eagle had visited his home and summoned his neighbors to the wooded banks of the river for which the eagle had made. In about an hour, the sound of a shot summoned the searchers together. One of the men had found the eagle and was engaged in a conflict with it.
Oh my God.
He had emptied his gun at the big bird and broken a wig.
It's a bird!
He was using his gun as a club when reinforcements arrived.
It's a bird! You're a grown man!
Like, I imagine the eagle was pretty sizable, but I'm with you. It's one bird.
Hold on. Let's see. How big are bald eagles or just eagles?
I don't know if it was a bald eagle.
Up to 36 inches in length, which with a 6 foot wingspan. Like, that's the biggest of the eagles.
Yeah.
So, like, 3 feet tall. So, hobbit sized.
Still. It's, again, a bird versus a man with a gun.
Unbelievable.
The eagle fluttered into the bush, and then the father saw his infant dead, the body badly lacerated. I probably should have put a warning at the beginning of this episode that this one, again, does involve some dead children.
You just can't quit.
This is my podcast legacy, I guess.
Great. The Dead Baby Podcast.
Our next story comes from Meigsville, Tennessee in 1868. This story appeared in the Christchurch Star, Christchurch, New Zealand. So this was apparently a
international
big international story. Yeah. A child was captured by an eagle near Meigsville, Tennessee on Christmas Eve, 1868, and carried about 2 miles before it was rescued. He was a bright little fellow, just old enough to be learning to walk.
The bird?
The baby. When no one was in the house, again, kids don't need to be supervised, he managed to roll out of his trundle bed and crawl into the front yard. A great gray eagle came swooping down and fastened its immense talons in the clothing of the little boy, then rose up with much difficulty sailed off across the adjacent woods, just skimming the tops of the trees. Its course lay towards the Cumberland River. This becomes like a huge drama. There's like a whole...
How many men did it take to fight this eagle off?
Well, a servant girl saw the eagle and gave chase. She dashed into the tangled wood and tried to keep a straight line, thinking the bird would do the same.
As the crow flies, yes.
Yes. It was fully a mile and a half through, but the girl made the run to the end of it, to the other edge of it, without feeling fatigue. This is like those mothers who like pick babies up off of their cars, I think. Beyond the wood and between it and the Cumberland River lay a patch of cleared ground, partly marshy, marshy and partly cornfields full of old stumps. When the girl left the wood and had a clear view, she saw the eagle in the air. He seemed inclined to alight with his burden somewhere in the vicinity of the river. This gave her new courage. Again, very dramatic.
Jesus.
It happened that there was a man hunting in the neighboring marshes, and just at the moment when the eagle reached the ground with his burden, a shot went off so dangerously near him that he mounted into the air again, but this time without the boy. The pursuing girl began a vigorous shouting as she ran, which attracted the hunter's attention, who, seeing the eagle quite near him and a lady rushing down the slope with streaming hair and garments and wildly shouting, concluded at once that there was something strange and perhaps dreadful in his immediate vicinity.
No shit.
He also set up a vigorous hallooing and proceeded to reload his gun.
Oh my god.
The eagle soon became aware of the opposition he would meet if he attempted to recapture his prey, hovered over the spot for a moment, and then wheeled around in one grand sweep across the river and disappeared behind the shelving rock which forms the opposite bank. When the girl came down to the hunter, she fell stiff and was not able even to indicate what was the matter. The rough gallant then heard the scream of the child and soon found a fine, healthy, rosy boy with torn clothes, but otherwise uninjured, endeavoring to rise upon his little feet.
I'm glad they gave that servant girl credit because, I mean, otherwise it would be like, hero hunter saves boy.
Yeah. The tears streamed down his innocent cheeks and his face wore a most piteous expression. I love how this one is written, honestly. The hunter took the baby in his arms and carried it to the girl, who was now recovered. She clasped it to her bosom, covered it with kisses, and wept with joy. The parents, in the meantime, had missed the little one.
I love how in newspapers back then they refer to children as it.
Yeah.
We came across that, I think, Bobby Dunbar's story.
Yeah, definitely. Like, children, they aren't real people yet, so they're its.
Well, no, they're just leaving them in fields and shit.
The parents, in the meantime, had missed the little one and had become very uneasy. There was laughing and crying enough when the wanderers returned, and the wonderful voyage of the little fellow was explained.
Jesus Christ.
I love just how dramatic that story was at every turn.
Imagine being that little boy.
That would be a rough morning.
Getting picked up by a fucking bird and then shot at? Yeah.
Yeah. And being carried for like a mile and a half. That's no small distance.
Meanwhile, like, your nanny is just running behind you screaming.
That's an excellent nanny, by the way. I would hope that if I had children and hire nannies, which I would because I wouldn't want to raise them myself, would express that sort of, you know, dedication to her job.
Taking a real Victorian noblewoman approach to raising your children.
Yes, correct. Our third story is from Scotland in 1904, and this appeared in the London Express. While a little girl about 18 months old, the only daughter of a young Sutherlandshire crofter, I'm sure that it's pronounced some stupid way.
Sutherlandshire or something.
Yeah. Living about a mile from Inversion Station on the Highland Railway. Playing at her father's Inversion.
Okay. I thought you said Inversion Station, which sounds like a ride at a state fair.
I was going to say, it sounds very futuristic. No, Inversion. I just, you know, can't talk. Cottage door on Saturday evening, an eagle swooped down, gripped her in its claws, and carried her off into the mountains, where some hours later, her dead and mutilated body was found by the gamekeeper. At first, there was no clue to the mystery of her sudden disappearance. The little one had been playing in the sunshine while her mother was baking bread and her father was still at work in the fields. Her baking finished, the mother prepared tea and called the child. As there was no response, she went out to look for her and, not seeing her anywhere, became alarmed and went off in search of her husband. Together, they searched the country road, the fields, and the hillside, calling the little one's name and waiting in vain for an answer. Crofters and gamekeepers and all their neighbors soon joined the search in the gathering dusk, and under the supposition that the baby had been kidnapped by Romani.
Stop blaming my fucking people for this shit. We didn't do it.
Our traveling tinkers, of whom several had been seen in the neighborhood earlier in the week, search parties were formed to scour the countryside. No trace of any strangers was found, however, and not the faintest clue to the little one's fate. In despair, the father headed his party to search the river. These birds do like their rivers, though it was felt to be impossible that the child could have strayed that far. Meanwhile, a gamekeeper's party was hunting through the dense broom which covered a neighboring hill, and while this investigation was in process, one of the gamekeepers, recalling stories of lambs being carried away by eagles, made his way toward the rocky crags near the crest of the hill. In a crevice, he saw a tiny shoe. In a deeper cleft, a little higher, he found the body of a missing child. The sight was a pitiful one. Both Great. Eyes were missing, and the child's face was covered with blood.
Hold on. Trigger warning. Just maybe if you're going to be sensitive, skip like 30 seconds.
Skip like 30 seconds ahead, because this story gets real graphic. From her right cheek, a piece of flesh had been torn away, and on her arms, hands, and neck were other wounds which told their own terrible story. Yeah. So thanks, London Express.
They put that in the paper.
Yeah, this was just in the newspaper. On the clothing were found outlined in the little one's blood the cruel marks of an eagle's claws, and clutched in the baby's tiny hand was a bunch of eagle's feathers. The gamekeeper shouted for his fellow searchers when he discovered the child's body. Swiftly, they gathered around the cleft in the rocks. There they stood silent with horror and sorrow when they saw the child. Some of them, rough, strong, sturdy men, wept. The little one's mother was brought to the spot by the commotion, and before the news could be broken to her, to their credit, I guess, had caught sight of the baby's mangled body. With a heartbroken cry, she clasped the little one in her arms. She fainted and had to be carried unconscious down the hillside to her cottage. The news soon spread all through the countryside, and the gamekeepers took their guns and spread themselves out in search for the eagle. The quest had been unsuccessful so far.
Can I just say, not the eagle's fault?
No, the eagle was just doing eagle shit.
Yeah, he was doing eagle shit, and like there, someone left their baby unattended in an open field.
The story continues to say that 2 years ago, an eagle attacked and killed a deer in Sutherlandshire and fed on its body until gamekeepers drove it off. Lambs are sometimes missed, and their skeletons afterwards found on the hilltops. In its 50 years, however, since it... It is 50 years, however, since such a tragedy as that of Saturday occurred.
Remember that lady in Australia with the whole dingo thing? And it turns out a dingo really did eat her baby?
Yes.
I don't know. I think maybe we just need to blame animals more. But not kill them for doing dingo and eagle shit.
For doing dingo and the eagle shit. Yes.
I feel like we hit a really good sweet spot with like child management in like the late 80s. I know there were a lot of kidnappings in the late 80s, but hear me out. Maybe the 90s. Let's go with that. Because, like, there's this where it's like, you're 18 months old. Go fucking play outside while I bake some bread. And then there's parents today where it's like, please do not breathe outside of this house without me present. But, like, we could just fuck off for an entire day, but none of us died. So.
Yeah, I feel like our childhood, you know, despite the, you know, ever-present stranger danger. Well, not ever-present stranger danger, just like the perceived ever-presence of stranger danger.
Well, I think that's why we were okay, is because... We were all on high alert.
Yeah. Like, I was babysitting when I was, like, 13, like, newborns.
Oh, yeah.
Which in hindsight, feels insane to me.
What's that John Mulaney joke about having a teenager watch your baby is, like, hiring a horse to watch your dog?
That feels accurate.
Just a bigger child.
To be fair, they did have, like, babysitting classes. And stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I took like child CPR and stuff so I could get paid $1.50 to watch someone's shitty kid.
Those were the days. All right. So we got one more story. This is not from a newspaper. It's from a book called Animal World in Color. But apparently this is like a really popular story. This is just like the only account of it I could find from like a primary, not a primary source, just like a book or a newspaper.
Are there any dead babies in this one?
No, okay. We are going to end on a happier note, okay. I promise.
Okay.
So this happened in Norway in 1932.
Hmm.
Stories are often told of eagles carrying off a lamb or child, but real life instances capable of proof are very few. It is generally agreed by ornithologists that an eagle is unable to carry a weight in excess of its own, and few of these birds weigh more than 12 pounds.
However, we just heard three stories about fucking eagles carrying off children, so...
However, there seems no reason to doubt the terrifying experience of 4-year-old Svenhild Hansen, who was actually kidnapped, in quotes, by an eagle near Trondheim in Norway in June 1932. She was playing in the yard of her parents' farmhouse when the eagle swooped down on her, fortunately clutching only her dress in its talons. The giant bird is then said to have carried her more than a mile towards its eyrie. Becoming tired, it deposited her on a ledge 800 feet up a mountain and 50 feet short of the nest. The fact that the eagle was seen to fly repeatedly over the spot gave a clue to the panic-stricken parents and a party of searchers. Eventually, little Svenhild was found there fast asleep, uninjured except for slight bruising and a few scratches. Now a married woman, she keeps the torn frock that she wore as a souvenir of one of the world's most amazing adventures. As it is the habit of eagles to kill their prey before bringing it to the nest, Svenhild's escape must be one of the most extraordinary on record.
That is pretty impressive.
A 4-year-old even, like infant, that I believe. Like, I kind of do believe the first story because it actually names someone and it's like a very small baby.
And it wasn't over-dramatized towards the middle where you're like, am I watching a film about this?
Yeah, the middle two I'm a little more dubious on, but, you know, they could be real, ostensibly. And apparently this one in Norway is fairly well documented, so who knows? But it is a delightful story.
I thought it would be more of a variety of birds, but it appears to I would expect like a shoebill to pull that shit.
Yeah, but shoebills aren't like, I think they eat fish. Like, I think eagles fit in that. Like, they hit like that sweet spot between like big enough to actually carry children off while also being like raptors and assholes. Birds of prey. Yeah.
That's
like,
true.
You know, like hawks would probably do the same shit, but hawks are much smaller. So they probably can't get away with it.
That's fair. I guess I just kind of assume shoebills and storks and stuff are dickheads. Which they are.
I mean, I don't think they have any incentive. They probably are assholes, but in that they are, you know, focused primarily on their own survival, which isn't really helped by kidnapping a baby. You'd probably be like, what am I going to do with this fucking baby?
I'm still haunted by something I saw on planet Earth where I think it was a shoebill eating a baby penguin. And it was the worst thing I'd ever seen.
I mean, that's nature for you.
Man. Well, I'm glad you ended on one without... That was a good mix of sad and triumphant children stories.
An equal mix of dead and alive children. I promise that'll be the last dead children I do for a while. Not because I actually know what I'm doing in the future and can promise you that, but I will be trying to avoid it in the future.
I finished reading In Cold Blood like 2 weeks ago, but I specifically decided not to do that story yet because I'm like, I don't need to add to the pile. I mean, I still, you guys will have heard it at this point. I still talked about a lot of people dying, but you know, it's not real.
Yeah, it does help when it's not real.
Well, all right. I guess watch out for fucking eagles.
And owls. Owls are known to attack people sometimes.
Well, that's their thing.
They can't carry them off, but they have been known to, you know, be a little aggressive. Also, geese.
Oh, fuck geese. Geese are terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Give those bitches a wide berth.
I've never been attacked by a bird. I've been dive bombed by a bat before.
I hope you got rabies shots.
No, it's fine. It didn't make contact or anything.
Oh, okay.
No, I was on my way to, when I was working on Portlandia, we were shooting in like a neighborhood out middle of fuck off nowhere, Portland. It's not fuck off nowhere because it's in Portland, but like a neighborhood I did not usually go to. Anyway, so I'm walking, like I get off the bus and walk into the set and something just flies down and like brushes like my hair and I freak out and run all the way to the set. And didn't have to explain it to Fred Armisen, but he was definitely there when I arrived.
And saw your panic-stricken face.
Yeah, saw me, like, you know, unable to breathe. Panicked. great. Well, I know we don't usually end minis like this, but if you have a story about a child being carried off by a bird, or if you have been a child carried off by a bird, you can email us at afternoonifiedpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, would love to hear that. Sounds fascinating.
Absolutely love to hear that. I feel like I just want to solicit like weird animal stories from people and just spend a mini reading those.
I would love that. One, wouldn't be any work for us. Two, be good material.
If you have a weird animal story, such as being attacked by a bat, being carried off by a bird, other such
animal things. They don't even have to be that interesting. We'll probably read them.
Yeah, fuck it. Send them in to afternoonifiedpod@gmail.com. All right, guys, we will see you next week.
Goodbye. We love you.
For more podcasts like the one you just listened to, go to SoBelowMedia.com.
This is as above, so below.